I have shared a similar message with you before based on one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. And it's one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture because it was the first two verses Mom and Dad ever gave us with the first Bible they gave us on Christmas, which was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And I wanted to look at that text in light of what Mary was going through. And we sang the song here earlier about Mary and, you know, Mary, did you know that what was going on here had such import? You know, I think a lot of times in our lives, we don't realize that what's going on in our life really does have some import. You think sometimes that your life isn't important. You think sometimes that you don't have much to give to anyone else. You don't have much to give to the cause of the world. And you don't have much to give to the cause of Christ. But I'm here to tell you that's an absolute lie. Because God wants to use each and every one of us. And nothing that we do is insignificant in His eyes and in His mind. I've made this comment before. I thought, who was the person who spoke to someone like Billy Graham and led him to Christ? Who has more of an impact? The person who led him to Christ or Billy Graham and his ministry that he had? You think, you know what? That person who may have led Billy Graham to Christ, if he hadn't done that, Billy Graham wouldn't have shared all of those awesome messages over the years of his life. And I think of that from time to time. Folks, God wants to use you in your own little tiny sphere of influence, whatever it is. If it's with a spouse or a child or a grandchild or a neighbor or a parent or whatever it might be, God wants to use you and I in our lives. And you know, when God oftentimes uses us is when we find ourselves in crisis, when maybe someone else might be in crisis and we're trying to help them through that crisis. Or we are in crisis, and oftentimes in crisis is when we're listening to Him. We're willing to listen. I was thinking about Mary. Mary, when she found out that she was going to give birth to the Son of God, I mean, it was just kind of old news. I mean, who's ever had that said to them before? You know, Mary is the one and only. There was never anyone else. It was Mary. But I'm thinking about Mary, and when Mary responds to some of the things that is being told to her by an angel of God, by God Himself, I saw something here in the story that seems to indicate Mary was already predisposed to God. Why was she predisposed to God? I don't think we are necessarily predisposed to God when we come into this world. You know, the first thing we learn is no, and we learn to sin very quickly, and I don't know that we're necessarily predisposed to God, but I can probably gather from a majority of people here, or a good number of people here, if you're like it was in my family. I'm grateful for my family, far from perfect, but I grew up in a Christian home. And so from the time I was a little kid until the time I was growing up and getting a little bit older, because of what they shared with me, before I even accepted it for myself, because of what my parents shared with me about God and about Jesus Christ and about the real meaning of Christmas and all those things, I became a little bit predisposed to God because of what they were teaching me. Some of you can say, I was never predisposed to God because I was never taught that sort of thing, and I grew up in a very difficult situation. But I say, praise be to God, you're here anyway, and you heard the message at some point in your life, whether it was from those who were closest to you or not. I say, praise God for that. But here is Mary. She seems at every point that she is talked to by God or by a messenger of God, she seems predisposed to say things like, may it be as you have said. Even though I don't understand it, may it be. In her pregnancy and the birth of Jesus, it wasn't in an ideal place, was it? It wasn't a sanitary hospital with nurse and doctor nearby. No, it was in a stable. It was in a place where it was probably cold and it probably stunk a little bit. I grew up on a farm. I know a little bit about stink and manure, okay? You know, it probably wasn't the best of places to be born. I mean, can you say, oh, I'm going to have a baby. Let's go out to the barn. No. No. You look at this and you say, even the birth of Jesus, God's presence was there. There was that star of Bethlehem. Here was this little baby born to Mary. And Mary had been told, this baby is going to be named Jesus, Messiah. Years later, 12 years old, as Jesus had lived his life for a few years, and I wish we had had a lot more stuff between he was born and when he was 12. I really do. Because we got nothing after about 8 days after he was born, when he's in the temple and he's circumcised and all that sort of thing. Then it's like, what happened during those 12 years? I can only imagine what happened during those 12 years. But he confounded those teachers of the law, the scribes and the Pharisees at the temple when they went to Jerusalem. And he spent so much time with them, he lost track of time. He didn't have his Apple Watch. They left. Jesus was still there. And Mary, even then, was wondering, what's going on? I think I'm starting to see something in my son that's different than other 12-year-olds, because he confounded the scribes and the Pharisees with his knowledge of God's word, for he was God come in human flesh as a little babe. I wonder for Mary, because it was an oral culture, whether one of Mary's favorite passages might have been Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I wonder. His response to God, her response to God is very much like that. I'm going to trust in you with all my heart. I'm not going to lean on what I understand, because I'm a little bit befuddled. I'm a little confused. But I'm going to trust in you that you're going to make things right. You're going to make things the way they should be. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What about you and I? Do I trust him? It's easy to trust God when things are going well, isn't it? I wonder if others think that we trust him, the way we live our lives. Do other people think that we trust God with the way we live our lives? Or are we always trying to be two steps ahead of God and say, God, I don't think you've got this, so I'm going to try to take care of it for you? Usually when I do that, it's messy. Usually when I do that, it's really messy. Do I trust him maybe with my mind, but I don't trust him with my heart? How do I know whether I'm trusting him or I'm not trusting him? Because of that first phrase in Proverbs 3, 5 that maybe Mary was thinking of at these times in her life. How do I know? Do I worry a lot? You know what worry is? It's trying to take things into my own hands that I can't control. So why am I doing it? Why am I doing it? Why am I worrying where I'm taking stuff into my own hands? I can't control it anyway. So why do it? But I do it. Am I trusting the Lord with all my heart? How hard it is for me to let go. Whew. Some of it's harder than others, isn't it? Some of us like to be in control. I don't like anyone else to take control. I want to be in control. I ask you to ask yourself, though, when you have tried to take all these things under your own control, how did they turn out? I think turn them over to him is a better idea. Do I go to God in prayer often? I've known some people say, I don't want to bother God with all my problems. He says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. And yet there are some of us that want to run around with all of our problems and say, I don't want to bother God with it because, you know, God has better things to do. No, he doesn't. He loves you. And he loves me. And he says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Isn't he an awesome God? We don't always do that as parents, don't we? Leave me alone. If we were to be like God, we'd say, cast your cares upon me because I love you and I care for you. Do I trust the Lord with all my heart? How easily do I accept the answer different from what I wanted? I'm guessing Mary was thinking perhaps there would be a different answer than what she was being given. What is going on here, God? What is everybody else going to think, God, when I am pregnant and I'm not even married? And now what's going to happen? People are going to want to stone me. What does Joseph do? How easily do I accept an answer different from the one that I wanted? God is going to lead you and I through all of the times in our life, whether they seem extremely difficult or whether they do not. Lean on him and cast your cares on him because he said to. And may we be like Mary who says in Luke 1:38, may it be as you have said. May it be as you have said. Then, rather than saying, God, I've got a better idea. No. May it be as you have said. That other phrase in that text in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, lean not on your own understanding. How could anyone, how could Mary, let alone anyone else, understand what God was about to do? Even though some of this was prophesied in the Old Testament, how could she understand what God was about to do? I want to encourage us as we look at our lives to not lean on our own understanding. You know what happens in our life if we lean on him is our understanding becomes like God. The closer we get to him, the more we learn about him, the more we learn how to do the things the way God would want us to do, just like with a parent and raising a child and the parents trying to teach the child the right way to do this or that or the other. Over time, the child begins to do it the way the parent has taught them. That's not leaning on our own understanding. That's leaning on someone who does understand. And we need to lean on him. Where, I ask, do you and I get our information to get our understanding? We live in a world with information overload. We live in a world today where I can go on Google or Yahoo or wherever I want to go and I can find those people out there that are skeptical about the Christian faith. I can go on there and find people say the Bible's not really even true. The Bible was written by a bunch of men who just kind of had a thing for this Jesus guy. You can go on and find those kinds of things if you want to. But I believe this is the Word of God. Everything that happened here, every prophecy that God ever shared with his prophets to share with us, they all came true except the ones that he says they're going to, and you can take them to the bank. Lean not on our own understanding. Where do you and I get our information? Do we get our information from God? Here's the place to go. God's Word. I mean, do you go to Good Housekeeping for information on a new car? Some of you are going, I don't know, I've never looked. I don't think Good Housekeeping is the kind of magazine you'd want to go to find out about new cars, right? Some of you have done that anyway, haven't you? Who do we go to? We go to God. We go to God. When we go anywhere else, look where it gets us. Mary made another statement, actually four verses before the statement she made, may it be as you have said. She says, how will this be that she's going to become a mother to the Son of God? How will this be? Lean not on her own understanding, but acknowledge him. In all our ways, acknowledge him. Consult him. Include him. Honor him. Share him. Invite him into every area of our life. That's what God wants us to do. Every area of our life. Then when Mary starts to ponder what God was really doing, In the text that we read this morning, we see God works in marvelous and glorious ways. That last phrase I want to end with here this morning in that Proverbs 3 text, again with the idea that maybe this was a text Mary was thinking about when she went through the stuff that she went through. Because you see, the Psalms and the Proverbs were very much texts that those in the Jewish culture of that day would have memorized. These were texts that were easier to memorize. He will direct your paths. He will direct your paths. Try to find an address in the middle of Chicago without GPS. We tried that once before we had GPS. We wanted to find an ice cream place in downtown Chicago. Now, we came from northern Michigan up in the UP. We're a little different up there. But I had a gift certificate for free ice cream. I'm going to downtown Chicago and I'm going to get myself some ice cream. Afterwards, I thought how stupid that was of us to do that. But we finally found the place. But here we were parked in a place in Chicago, probably a half a mile from the place we got ice cream. Lisa, do you remember that? She does. She was trusting her husband, which isn't always smart. We parked in a place there in Chicago in a residential area that didn't look the greatest, but we found a parking spot because I'm going to go get my ice cream. God must have sent us a few guardian angels along the way. Of course, then we come back to the vehicle, and guess what? It doesn't want to start. Long story short, things got taken care of. We're here today. We survived, and we did get our ice cream, didn't we? I think we did, because I was bound and determined to get it. But how hard it is to navigate life without our spiritual GPS. How hard it is to navigate life without God directing our paths, making our paths straight. Now, making your path straight doesn't necessarily mean the way that word comes out, straight. But he's leading us in a direction. And if God's not leading us in a direction, you and I are wandering all over the place trying to find our way. God says, I will make your path straight. I'll give you purpose. I'll give you hope. I'll give you a destination. And I'll give you how you're going to get there. Just trust me. That's what Mary was trying to do. As God was telling her all these big, magnificent things. And that's what God is trying to tell you, even with the little tiny things. And some of you maybe are going through some big things right now. Trust him. Just trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You will one day be satisfied. You will one day have joy. You will walk abundantly in him. Maybe in a different way than what you envision, but you will walk abundantly in him. So I want to encourage you with those words this morning. I was trying to look at this through the eyes of Mary in light of what we sang this morning and in light of the text in Luke. God can be trusted with everything in your life. So trust him. Let's pray. God, thank you for Christmas. When you came into human history as a babe in Bethlehem, that was the beginning of the climax of human history. And its pinnacle was the cross, his death and his resurrection. Thank you for showing us God's love. And thank you for showing us that God's love is available to anyone who would receive it. There's nothing we could do to fall outside of your grace. The thief on the cross, he didn't fall outside of your grace. David, who was an adulterer and a murderer, he didn't fall outside of your grace. Paul, who was a persecutor of Christians, he didn't fall outside of your grace. So there's not a single person here in this room that is outside of the possibility of God's grace extended to them. All we have to do is receive and open the gift. I pray that all do that. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.